Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From iHeart Podcasts, I am Fab Five Freddy, and this is 50 Years of Hip Hop Podcast Series.
You know, it's really amazing to think how far hip hop on the radio has come. That was another piece of how it used to be back in the days. But it took a minute. And that shift of radio coast to coast, you know, mainstream stations in all these cities and states not playing the music, that began to change in a significant way. You know, it was a cultural shift. You know, hip hop really has been a cultural revolution, you know, the entire culture. It was not easy to get to the point where you just hear hip hop on a radio station all day, all the time. You know what I mean? It was just not happening. It was massive and major resistance. And, you know, as far as that goes, it literally was in 2018 when rap overtook rock as the most popular genre for music enthusiasts, and that's across all the listening platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple, A to Z. And so it's interesting that we're going to get deeper right now with some people that have worked in radio, all aspects of it, to give us the 411 on how this all came to be. And of course, we got to get into New York's Hot 97, pioneering and had the courage to step up and be the first in New York City to go all day, all the time with hip hop. Once again, got to give props to LA's KDAY. They were the first to do it on AM. But when we got it going in New York, we had to take it to another level. No doubt. No doubt. Moni Love, British born, Grammy nominated rapper and radio host.
Hip-hop formatted radio, once it kicked off and once other stations started picking it up, it definitely changed the scope of radio, period, because it's a window into all the neighborhoods and all the areas and all the economic structures. It's a window into that, right? It's a window into the Bronx. It's a window into Brooklyn. It's a window into Crenshaw. It's a window into, you know, and it definitely changed because now there's music flowing across all of these airwaves from artists that come from all kinds of economic backgrounds and then in essentially speaks to people from all economic backgrounds. And radio realizes now that they, because remember once before it was shut out, people didn't know, it was only the fly, the pretty and the glamorous would hear the fly, the pretty and the glamorous on the radio, you know, and then it turned into the fly, the pretty and the glamorous now here. People out of apartments in the Bronx that ain't got windows. You know what I mean? So it changed the landscape of radio for the simple reason that radio became a direct conduit into knowing what's going on in areas that people perhaps don't live in. And that has continued. So now on any given award show, on any given radio station concert show, You see all kinds of people from all economic backgrounds come into that show to see their favorite artists that also come from all different types of economic backgrounds. So yeah, I'd say it definitely changed the landscape of radio, period.
Ed Lover, rapper, actor, radio personality, and former MTV VJ.
Oh my God. First of all, we brought the energy to radio because there was no all hip hop radio station in New York at the time. I remember a few years earlier, BLS had all R&B with no hip hop. Like, they had a slogan about them not playing rap music on their radio. So once we came in, the energy just automatically shifted because there was some place for them to get played and they did not have to wait for a specialty show. They didn't have to go. I mean, God bless everybody. I don't want this to come out wrong because I don't want people to think that I'm on my own and like these dudes didn't matter, because they did matter. You know, the Awesome 2 mattered. Stretch and Bobbito mattered. You know, that was their outlets for them to get their stuff played. There was no FM that was just on a regular everyday basis playing hip hop. And that's what Hot 97 was. So once that happened, it really shifted the whole dynamic of radio and hip hop radio in general. You know, Steve went on to have a great consulting career, giving away all the secrets that he gave us and building all of these stations across the country, because there was no real outlet. He was the guy that convinced them that it can be done at MS Broadcast. It convinced Judy Ellis wanted to hire some other dude for the programming. And Steve convinced her that this can happen, that this is viable. And he won. He took a chance, a gamble. He took a gamble on me and Drake, because we had no real radio experience. I mean, Dre did Adelphi Radio, we did BLS Friday and Saturday, but we didn't have that everyday experience. That's what Lisa was there for, you know, and it worked. And it worked big time. So it shifted radio, period, because now in the biggest market in the country, if you made a rap record, there was some place that your record can go into regular rotation. You know, not you just got to wait for Red Alert to play it, or you got to wait for Marley to play it, or for Mr. Magic to say it. You know, it shifted everything for everybody.
DJ Envy, radio personality and host of The Breakfast Club.
Thank God I got lucky enough to be from New York, where the first hip-hop radio station, big radio station, I should say, was Hot 97. That was one of the big stations that was able to go from, you know, pop music, come, to hip-hop. And I was lucky enough to be a part of it, where their whole thing was based off of hip-hop. And I got lucky. You know, there was college stations that played hip-hop, AM stations that played hip-hop. We never had a real big station, and Hot 97 was the start of that.
Moni Love.
Mr. Magic and Marley Marl and Red Alert, opposite stations, are the ambassadors, not part of an ambassador group, the ambassadors of breaking down stereotypically, musically biased radio and allowing the floodgates to be open for hip hop culture to be listened to, appreciated, and understood. They're the gatekeepers. They were the ones that was like, look, radio, you better see what the heck is going on and be a part of this before it takes you, it steps on you. And basically, Mr. Magic, Marley Marl, and Red Alert, those were the gatekeepers for hip hop culture. They are the gatekeepers for hip hop culture's popularity across all broadbands.
Ed Lover.
Of course, you know, Mr. Magic, Marley Marl, Who DJ Red Alert, an all radio, the Supreme Team show, Stretch and Bobbito, definitely. The Awesome 2, absolutely, without the shadow of a doubt. The Morning Show with Ed, Lisa, and Dre, for sure. Funk Flex, for sure. You know, On the Reggae Tip, for sure. Angie, for sure, what she's been able to accomplish. I love, absolutely would say The Breakfast Club. These are the, you know, that's just some of them. Staple shows in New York City that have managed to change the landscape.
This is going to be fascinating, getting this story here. It's really amazing about what happened
at Power 105.1 with the Breakfast Club. This has become hip hop's most influential radio show ever. Power 105.1's The Breakfast Club. They also like to call it the world's most dangerous morning show. And it's based in New York City and it's hosted by DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God. Angela Yee, who was the third of the co-hosts, recently left to do her own thing. But they're currently syndicated around the country. And of course, Charlamagne is doing a lot of other things, as is Envy. But the morning show's brilliance and popularity and longevity have been revered and really has served as a beacon. It's definitely, without question, the most impactful hip-hop morning show ever. Doc Winter, iHeartMedia president of hip-hop and R&B programming and program director at Real 92.3 in L.A.
Yeah, the Breakfast Club, man. Breakfast Club, man. Like, wow. Cadillac Jack was the program director in New York. Legendary program director. Brilliant mind. Looking for a morning show. I can't remember who previous morning show was. It might have been Big Tigger. After Star was gone, and we had a show that was on there for a little while. And so I remember, you know, talking to him and he said, hey, you know, I got this idea for the show. And, you know, these are the three people. Remember Envy. And of course, I remember Envy because Envy was embroiled in the whole thing with Star when he left. And I remember like, okay, so we're going to hire the guy that, you know, that sued us. I guess. Okay. You know, it's fine. I mean, I get it. We were wrong. And so let's, you know, then, you know, this guy named Charlamagne. And then, you know, I remembered, you know, him referencing Angela. I'm like, okay, cool. So I fly into New York for a meeting. And we're in the conference room and, you know, they're just being themselves. They're just talking and joking and ribbing one at each other. And I think the reason why I was in the meeting at that time was because there was this notion when we moved to this new measuring system called PPM. It's the one that currently exists. It's a meter that things move really quickly. That we should know within, you know, weeks or months that whether or not a show was going to work or not. It had been several months, might have been 6 or 8 months by then, and the show, you know, hadn't gained any traction yet from a ratings perspective. So I was kind of going in there basically to say, yeah, it's good, or no, it's not going to work. And I remember being in a conference room with them, and I'd heard the show on the radio, but I remember being in a conference room with them and I was like, man, like this thing that they have between them, this relationship, this energy, man, like when this hits, when the audience comes and what we since learned is that people's behavior still has to change. So whatever that previous show was that left, the audience said, okay, well, that show left, so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go over there. And so in my mind, based on what I saw, I was like, when these people come back and spend time with this show and get to understand the roles of these characters, man, this thing could be huge. But I will tell you that I had no idea it would be as huge as it was. I'm not even going to sit here in front and tell you. Yeah, I know. Like, I knew it was good. I knew what I heard in that room was great. The chemistry, the camaraderie. But and then the internet hits and what they were able to do with their from a social perspective.
Some of you guys listening to this probably began your morning listening to The Breakfast Club, right? But now we're going to get into the whole story of how these guys put this dynamic show together. Charlamagne Tha God, co-host of The Breakfast Club, founder of the Black Effect Podcast Network and media mogul.
All of us were sidekicks. I was a sidekick for Wendy Williams. Envy was a sidekick for Ms. Jones. Angela Yee at the time was a sidekick for Cypher Sounds. And me and Envy knew each other because we would run into each other all the time. Envy helped me. I had an artist, you know, at the time named Little Root. And Little Root was from South Carolina. You know, he got a song called Nasty Song. And Lotto just redid it, actually. And Envy was like the first person to play that song on a national level. Like, he played it on Hot 97. Me, him, and Wendy's husband. you know, had a lunch meeting one time, and I was just trying to, I was telling him what I was doing with South Carolina, trying to tell him what I was doing with breaking the artist. You know, we the next state from the South to pop off. We've never popped off, yada, yada, yada. And he just played the record off the strength. So we've had a relationship since way back then. That was like 07, 08, you know? Angela Yee, you know, when I got fired in 2009, yeah, when I got fired from, I think it was before Philly, when I got fired from Wendy. It was either when I got fired from Wendy and before Philly or right after Philly, Angela was doing her show on Shade 45 and she used to invite me to come up and co-host. So I used to go up to her Shade 45 show and co-host with her on the morning show. So we definitely had a relationship. You know what I mean? I remember G-Spin texting me when I was on with Angela, like, yo, y'all sound really good together. You know? That was actually supposed to be this. It was supposed to be me and Angela at first. And then they put Envy in the mix because Envy was the guy in New York that everybody knew.
DJ Envy.
Who he got with me? And they was like, well, we wanted to make a DJ Envy morning show. And I'm like, nope. And I was like, well, why not? I said, well, the reason why is, this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, if the show fails, I can't go back to middays. I can't go back to afternoons because I'm going to look like a failure. I said, and also whoever you bring on the team, you never want them to feel like somebody's bigger than the other because that's where you get jealousy. So at the time, Charlamagne, who was fired a couple of times, was sending Cadillac like skits and conversations and he was trying to go and Cadillac really liked Charlamagne. He was like, yo, I think you should work with Charlamagne. And I'm like, nah. He's like, well, why not? I said, he got fired 3-4 times, bro. I'm like, I got kids. At the time, I had 2 kids. I'm like, I got kids. He's like, no, I think Charlamagne's good. You should have a conversation. I was like, I know Charlamagne, but it's scary. He was like, nah, he's changed. He's changed. Okay. Then he was like, we got this girl that we're thinking about, Angela Yee. I'm like, what? I'm like, she works at Satellite Radio. She curses like a sailor. You ever heard a show? One of these curses, we out of here. No, we're going to talk him down. We're gonna make sure that she doesn't curse. So I was like, all right, well, let's try it. Okay, let's rock out. And he kind of put us all together in a room and started, you know, practicing and going through stuff. And, you know, we started coming up with names. At the time, LeBron just went to Miami. So we was like, yo, let's call ourselves the Big Three. Then, like, you know, then Charlamagne was like, yo, let's do Illuminati in the morning. Let's do this one and that one and that one and that one. And then somebody said the Breakfast Club was like, let's do it. Let's rock with it. And we started from there. And the first couple of months, we was trash, horrible, sucky. We couldn't get right. It was really, 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 really bad to the point where they looked like they were going to flip the switch, change the whole station to country. That's how bad we were. And then Ray J happened. That one drunk night when Ray J was out in Vegas and he called. I was in the middle of my mix. I remember he called, yo, Ray J's on the phone. Ray, what's up? Ray, we're going to put you on. Just don't curse, all right? I bet, Envy.
Ray.
Yo, Charlamagne.
What up, my G?
Envy, what up?
What up, Ray J? What happened, man? What the hell went on?
Are we live?
No.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
We live?
Yeah.
Okay, so I ain't going to curse. But these punk and excuse my language, but you know what I'm saying? Be whoever you want to be. Love whoever you want to love. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, when you want to disrespect me and the money team, and we got 7 Rolls Royces outside, and we just made 350 racks on the... Don't disrespect me.
He did that, and that was probably the first viral moment ever. Ray J in Vegas talking about Fab being with Floyd Mayweather. And that clip just started going. And then everybody wanted to know, who are those 3 individuals? Who's the Breakfast Club? Who is that? Who is this Breakfast Club people? And now it just started growing and growing. And, you know, we all have relationships. I have a relationship with World Star because I knew Q. I have a relationship with This Is 50 because me and 50 was cool. You know, we have a relationship with Jasmine Brand and all these things. So we would use them as our tool and use them as a form to promote before people started doing it. So all our videos were on World Star. All our videos were on This Is 50. And it just started growing. And the rest is history.
This is special right here, getting the 411 on how DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God created that special secret radio sauce, baby. The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God.
We are the longest running syndicated morning show that came from hip hop. Salute to Tom Joyner. Salute to Doug Banks. Legends. God bless the dead Tom Banks. Legends. You know, but they were adult contemporary. They were rooted in adult contemporary from the beginning. We are a hip hop radio show. that started from a hip hop and R&B radio station, you know, Power 105. And this is why I can't wait to do the Breakfast Club documentary, because if you look at the last 13 years of media that derived from the structure of the Breakfast Club, you know, 13 years ago when we came together, I was putting my interviews online. NB was putting his interviews online. Angelique was putting her interviews online. That was the one request that we had to iHeart. Like, yo, y'all got to have a camera in here with us every day. Every interview got to be recorded. Every interview got to go online. You know, we started that. We started that trend of radio stations doing that, making sure that their content was online every day, making sure that their interviews were online every day. We were the ones having those long form conversations and putting them up online 13 years ago, way before podcasts. You know what I'm saying? Way before other radio shows that were doing that. That was us. And so that's to me, we changed the landscape of how people, you know, distribute their content. And I think we changed the landscape of how a lot of people in the hip hop space, you know, conduct conversations. You know, don't get me wrong, long form conversations existed way before us, way before us. You know, the Barbara Walters and the Diane Sawyers and, you know, the Wendy Williams, and, you know, even Angie Martinez, you know. But even with them, I don't know how long form Angie and Wendy's interview were. They always seem like conversations. I don't know how long they were, but we're the ones that started taking that content, putting it online. And if people really look back at it, like, we changed the landscape of not just radio forever, but media in general, as far as like podcasts and everything else.
DJ Envy.
If it wasn't for the Breakfast Club, a lot of these people wouldn't be doing podcasts. Like, it influenced the long interview form. You know, think about it. We do interviews for an hour. Nobody was doing that beforehand. They were doing segments, 10-minute interviews, get them out and in and out. We were doing the long interviews, watch the long interview online, and we, you know, break it up for a thing. Like, we influenced so much where other companies have tried to create their own Breakfast Club. You're this person. You're that person. You're this person. You know, and has it worked? No, because it's like every once in a while, and I'm not just saying it because I'm part of it, but every once in a while, you get that one special piece that's like, this is special. That was the Breakfast Club. That was Michael Jordan. That was LeBron. That is Hove. That is those pieces that you'd be like, wow, this is just, it's just so organic. Like, if you look at all those people I named, they were just like, oh, he was organic. He wasn't, you know, billions of dollars putting into him. He was a street dude that just caught on in people's life. And that's what the Breakfast Club was. I do think the Breakfast Club is the most impactful, longest running hip hop morning show ever. Now, there's a lot of other morning shows, whether it's Ed Lover and Dre, whether it's Tom Joyner, whether it's Star and Buck, whether it's all those shows. But I just think as far as longevity and what we created and started, it's just something different.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, keep in mind, radio is still important. Don't get it twisted. But it's definitely nowhere near as important as it used to be, largely due to streaming platforms like where you guys are probably listening to the podcast right now. Millions and millions of songs are just a few clicks away. And once again, podcasts like what we're doing right here. So make sure you tell a friend to tap on in as we break this 50 years of hip hop history all the way down. Charlemagne the God.
Yeah, I've never known anything but rap. You know, I'm 44 years old. I was born in 1978. So, you know, the first time I ever heard a rap record was my cousin Ty let me hear Eric B. and Rakim Paid in Full. I was like 10 years old, you know, and my sister, my older sister, she was Salt and Pepper and Kid and Play. Like, she was all into that. And, you know, I tell people all the time, rap has never been anything but the biggest to me, because even growing up, the TV shows we used to watch were all hip hop. Like, you know, you watch Martin and hip hop artists would be on Martin. You know, you would watch. I remember watching Cosby Show when Cousin Pam, Eric Alexander, started showing up and she was hip hopped out. You know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's the Fresh Prince. That's Will Smith. DJ Jazzy Jeff is on the show. Living Single. Queen Latifah was on Living Single. Like, hip hop. Kid and Play and House Party. Like, hip hop was always the biggest thing to me. There's never been a time in my life where I looked at hip hop as a subgenre. Like, hip hop has always been my world. The music we listen to, the TV shows we watch, hip hop was all around us. It always felt like to me everybody else was late on hip hop.
Ed Lover.
Before, when we first started, I would say radio helped propel hip hop. But now I say hip hop keeps radio alive, definitely. Absolutely. In this market, today's age, absolutely.
DJ Envy.
I think hip hop has definitely kept radio alive, but I also feel like it's the people buying it. Everybody wants to tap into our culture. Everybody. White, Asian, Indian, doesn't matter. Because our culture, Black people, African American people, we make things cool. And if you look at any culture out there, they want to be a part of it. Where they dress like us, talk like us, sing like us, drive like us. Like, we make everything cool. And if you think of any other culture out there, other people might take little things here and there, but not like this. We could put bigger rims on a car. We could put TVs in a car. We could put swangers where these big ass things that come out, like, and we make it cool. We made baggy jeans hang off your ass cool. Where these designers are making jeans that look like they hang off your ass. You know, we made the fact that you can wear, you know, throwback jerseys cool. You know, we make the fact that you wear Jordans cool. Like, everything that we do and talk and wear and slang, we made cool. You got every culture wearing masks now to this day. Pusheisty masks, where it's like you got white kids in suburbia wearing them. There's no reason to wear them. They wear them because of that. I mean, even one to the point where to something as little as you go to LA and you see, you know, these kids from suburbia wearing hoodies in the summer because their favorite rappers are doing it. Their favorite artists are doing it. So that's the type of thing that our culture creates where the world wants to follow it. I'm just mad that the world makes money off of it that we don't make, but we create so many different fads, jewelry, chains, the watches, the bling, the ice, the this, the that, the this, the that. You know, I just wish that we was able to profit off of a lot of that stuff.
Charlemagne the God.
Hip hop is absolutely, you know, kept radio alive. And that's why it's so interesting now that we live in a culture that's kind of like reversed a little bit, right? Because right now, hip hop media keeps a lot of rappers alive. Because sadly, a lot of these rappers are known more for what they say in interviews than they are, you know, for their music. You know, sometimes these rappers got to go do a great conversation just to get people interested in their music. And I think that's something that rappers started noticing years ago. Because it wasn't just the Breakfast Club. I got to salute our guy Combat Jack. Rest in peace, Reggie Osei. You know, a lot of rappers were going to him early. Like the J. Cole's and them were going to sit down with him and have these long form conversations because they know that they were able to sit down and be able to express themselves in ways they probably couldn't do in the more, you know, quicker interviews. And they were able to go in there and kind of like sell their music, because that's what you had to do, right? Like you can't just put out good music anymore. You had to kind of like sell your music, you know, to the people. And that's what's happening now. Hip hop is the reason there is a hip hop radio. Like there'd be no hip hop radio without hip hop music. Like hip hop music literally created hip hop radio. Hip hop became such a big genre of music that there was a need to have hip hop only radio stations.
On the next episode of the 50 Years of Hip Hop podcast series, we're going to get deep into what the MC does and what the MC is all about. Although this thing started with DJs, you know, mixing and cutting and scratching, that was the foundation. Those dudes that hold that mic took it to another level. And the rapper, man, that's really something that we're going to dive deep into and talk to some of the best that ever did it. This episode has been executive produced by Dolly S. Bishop, hosted and produced by your boy, Fab Five Freddy, produced by Aaron A. King Howard, edit, mix, sound by Dwayne Crawford, music scoring by Trey Jones, talent booking by Nicole Spence.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.